Hello, fellow Egypts. Welcome to Taranoia. Taranoia being my own special brand of fear and insecurity. But I try to battle it to get stuff done. It's kind of crippling, but you gotta push through it if you can. And hopefully I can. Hopefully you can too. We're all Egypts, including Buffy the Podcat. We're all Egypts, but we're all only doing our best. Right, Buffy? Yeah, exactly. Egyptry's normal. Today's episode of Taranoia is brought to you by Shadio, the radio you can throw out the window whenever a liar is on. The ratings will go down automatically and you will feel absolutely brilliant. Shadio bounces straight back in the window when the show is over, but your ratings won't count, so their ratings drop and your frustration is sorted out. Coming soon, Hurlevision, for all your late night talk show needs. The television you can also throw out the window. Shadio, the set that bounces back from bullshit, so you can too. Something terrible happened to me this week. I hope you've had a good week. Thank you for making us, I don't know what week you're listening, but you made us number one in the society and culture section on iTunes this week, thanks to your reviews and ratings. And you didn't even have to spend a cent. So thank you for that. That was brilliant. I've got a couple of new patrons. Thank you so much too. Patreon.com, patreon.com/Tara Flynn IRL. That's Tara Flynn IRL on Patreon. But thank you everyone for making us number one. God, it feels good. It feels like we did it all together as well, because it's just something you can do by clicking on stars or leaving a review. And you, I didn't see many handies in there, but some of you did, and that was really lovely. So your review homework, if you've never left a review for Taranoia, but you've found yourself coming back more than once, your homework for the week is to put the word frothing in there. Frothing. You know, like froth, like on the top of a beer, or when you put the washing up liquid into the sink, froth. Yeah, like broth, but with a F. That's your review homework. If you've never left a review, your challenge is to go and leave a review for Taranoia. Please, please, please be a good one. Oh God, my nerves, my Taranoia kicks into full gear. But please leave a review with the word frothing in it. I'll leave your creativity to froth. And thank you. Thank you so much for all those reviews. And thank you for that lovely placement in the charts. You did that, so thank you. A terrible thing happened this week. That's where I came in before I... Thank you. I've got carrot fatigue. I'm over carrots. We've had a long and healthy relationship. But carrots and I, it's terrible because they're so useful. I love carrots. I've always loved all vegetables. I've been really lucky that I loved vegetables even as a kid. And I'm vegetarian now, so it's good that I like them. But sometimes you get over a vegetable. It happened with me in broccoli earlier this year. I hope it's not an age thing. I can't do without them. I'm over broccoli. Even, you know, I can maybe stir fry it. It's kind of good then, but I just can't do the steamed stuff. It's just pointless. It's so devoid of point, even in its shape. And carrots were my absolute favourite and a staple. So like carrots are brilliant because they kind of beef up any meal. Like they make you feel fuller, and they're very cheap, and sometimes they taste good, especially if you kind of caramelize them a little bit first before you do other stuff with, like, they're kind of versatile. And I just found myself picking around them the other day, and I feel bad about it. I feel like I'm betraying them in some way, but I have carrot fatigue. They have a lot of pros: fiber, carotene, vitamin A, seeing in the dark, all of that malarkey, right, Buffy? She's cleaning herself. She's not looking at me. The cons now, though, are that I just can't look at them in the eye. Potatoes are meant to be the ones that have eyes, but carrots and I are going to have a duel at dawn. I need them back, so I've got to convince myself that they're good again. But for now, we've parted ways. And that's tricky because my favourite festive dish is carrot and parsnips mashed. I don't tend to eat it the rest of the year, but around Christmas, I love it. And we're coming up on Thanksgiving. I'm in a half American household. So Thanksgiving, we don't celebrate it, but we do think about it. We think about how it's not such a thankful time for the indigenous peoples of the US. The plague blankets, pillaging, theft, slavery. Yay, let's give thanks. So not everyone gives thanks at Thanksgiving, but there's no harm in having a festival where we do stop and pause and give thanks. It's just a shame what the US Thanksgiving is synonymous with. And I don't think a lot of US people are feeling very grateful at the moment, but I'm sure they can again. So I am thankful around Thanksgiving myself because Thanksgiving was my first date with Carl. Yeah. You know, Carl, you met him on the Pride and Privilege episode. If you didn't listen to that, go back and listen because it really contextualizes our relationship and how awful I am and how patient he is. But that is 10 years ago this week, the week that this is going out. 10 years. I can't believe it. Before that, I had never been in a relationship longer than 2 years. So this is mind-boggling to me that I can be in a relationship for 10 years and that we're still talking to each other. And on that first date, I forgot my wallet. I had been filming in the morning and been picked up at 5 a.m. And because I didn't need to use my wallet during the day, because that's what happens when you're filming, they feed you, which is amazing. So you're not only working, you're being fed. But I hadn't had my, didn't realize I didn't have my wallet. So I went straight from work to the date. And I always insist that I, on a first date, definitely on a first date, I mean, always, I don't have first dates anymore. You never know what's around the corner, though. You never know. So you don't want to be smug and you don't want to be complacent. I don't go on dates as a rule anymore. So I always insisted that I would go halves because I don't like that whole thing of the guy has to pay. Some, you know, maybe I will pay sometimes, or maybe he will pay sometimes. It's nice to same policy as for door opening and chivalry. It doesn't matter who does it. It's just a matter of kindness. But let's not get bogged down in old rule shit, patriarchal crap. And sometimes you can pay. I like the idea of going halves because not everyone has a ton of money, and even if they do, you shouldn't expect them to pay. So it's a nice surprise if someone does. But I used to like to set the date on a nice even footing by going Dutch. Nothing wrong with it. So I was doing my usual insistence that we go Dutch. And then I went to reach for my wallet and I went as red as a beetroot. Actually, I'm okay with beetroots at the moment. Maybe I'll eat more of those while I can't get the carrots. Yeah, I must buy some beetroots. I went as red as a beetroot and he just started laughing and he paid. And I felt terrible. And then he went, you go to the gym, don't you? And I was going, is he stalking me? What's the story? And then he went, no, just, he said, your wallet is probably in your gym bag if you go to the gym. And he walked me back to the flat to check if my wallet was in my gym bag. And listeners, it was. And I went, this guy is like St. Anthony made real. I know some people, St. Anthony is real, but you know, his saintly properties, some, you know, I understand many people really believe that. This was an actual St. Anthony that wanted to date me, a guy who could find stuff, and I'm terrible for losing things. And I went, this could be something. But here's what actually happened. A few weeks later, because it was going really well, it went really well. It was very easy. It happened. It clicked. He was lovely. And I should tell you, this is about love. This podcast is about love. If that wasn't apparent, it is. Basically, I got scared. It was too easy. And I had forgotten, you know, those lists people have. I didn't have a written list. But you know, the way when people say, what are you looking for in a prospective person to date, person to get serious about? And I would say things like nice eyes, a passion in life, wanting to contribute something good into the world. I want him to be funny, definitely funny. He has to make me laugh. If he's, you know, able to go halves on a date some of the times, that would be great. Independent, romantic, and all that sort of stuff. All that sort of stuff we're all led to want, sort of told that we should want. Nice hands, maybe, nice smile. But I forgot to put on that list was kindness. And so when I met someone who was unequivocally kind, really keen to be around and kind to me, I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. And so I broke up with him. That's right. I broke up with Carl. I broke up with Carl for a day, the ungrateful wretch that I am. But by the end of that day, I was going, I've made a terrible mistake. And I rang him and I said, I've made a terrible mistake. And if you don't think I'm too much of a Looney Tune, well, I am a Looney Tune. You knew that already because we've been together for a few weeks. But if you can get past that, I'm really sorry. I've made a huge mistake and I should just be really grateful. So that was my Thanksgiving moment. And he did. He came over and I cooked him dinner. And I think there were carrots in it. The rest is our history. And before that history, I'd been with so many people who just weren't mad keen to be there. Loneliness dicks with your brain. Loneliness dicks with your brain. That's something I've discovered. Something I really look back on with a bit of sadness, because loneliness definitely dicked with my brain. I did all kinds of things, like I dated people and pursued people that weren't that interested. They were kind of, yeah, she's all right. They didn't really want to be there. You know, it was sort of meh. And meh isn't enough. And you don't have to be with anybody. But I'm not talking about that. There's nothing worse than someone who's in a relationship that they're happy in and saying, oh God, I wish I could go back to dating. It was so exciting. It's not exciting. Sometimes it is. And sometimes it's really fun. And there's that thrill and the thrill of the chase and all that. But the chase is kind of a dangerous concept. The chase that there's one partner, be they male or female or non-binary, there's one partner who's doing the pursuing and the other being pursued. That is bullshit. So bin that. And I'm here to tell you the secret. I've been in one for 10 years. So I'm here to tell you the secret of a loving relationship. The secret of love. The secret of a loving relationship. The answer may surprise you, because the answer is there is no secret. There's no secret. There's no one size fits all. I've been around enough relationships. I've been in enough, even if they weren't hugely long lived. There's no secret to love. It's just love happens. And then relationships are made to work. You take them one day at a time. You can't see around the corner. Will we be together in 2 years, 10 years? Nobody knows. We definitely don't know. So we have to just be grateful when things are going well. And they don't always go well. Of course, there are bumps in any relationship. But you can get over the bumps, mostly. And you try to. When it's easy at the beginning, that's the only semi-rule, I think. It needs to be easy at the beginning. If it's not easy at the beginning, then when things get harder or less fresh, you know, things do get less fresh, especially if you have a wife who's a vegetarian. I was joking about trapped wind a few weeks ago on the podcast. So the truth is, my wind is rarely trapped. You know, I fart in my sleep sometimes, I've been told. It's hard for me to admit to you, but look, so he's a very tolerant man and he has a sense of smell, unlike me. You can go back and check that out in the Onion podcast, which I think is the one called Can Anyone Smell Me? Go back and check that out. I have no sense of smell. It's all explained there. But what I say to Carl then is, but love, listen, if I fart in my sleep, you must realise all the farts I'm keeping in when I'm awake. And that is love. Now, that's better than romance. Romance is sugary and sweet and it can rot your teeth a little bit. Romance is lovely, but big grand gestures aren't the same as getting through a day-to-day relationship. So when you're sold romance, or that someone needs to be romantic or chivalrous or all those old outdated gender stereotypes, bin them. Bin them. Maybe do them for the crack the odd time, but bin those and bin those expectations. If you're on your own right now and wondering why you can't meet someone, you can. You probably will. But it might not be the way you see your list or whatever it is, those concepts of the rules and all that right now, playing hard to get. I've always thought if you go on a date with someone or a couple of dates and then you have sex with them and have sex whenever it feels right, whenever, if you're both delighted to be there, go for it. Go for it. If you're both delighted to be there, fling those clothes off immediately or leave them on, you know, whatever is your thing. But if after that you're sitting there wondering whether it's a, you know, man or a woman is the object of your desire, if you're wondering whether you can call them after all that, there's a bit of power play going on. That's just power play. If you can't call or text and have someone be delighted that you've called or texted, it might not be right. It's not about intrigue or games. They're not. Maybe you like that stuff. I thought it was part and parcel of dating. I realise now I should have put kindness at the top of the list. And kindness includes if someone is upfront with you and says, actually, it was great and it was fun, but I'm not interested in continuing. Then that's great. That's upfront. That's honest. And that's kind of a kind thing to do. Just to say, listen, let's not pursue this. I'm not going to keep you dangling like a fecking mouse at the end of a line. I don't know what that analogy is, but I did so much of that. Oh, it's intrigue. And this is how our relationships start. And there's a bit of cat and mouse on or off a line. There's a bit of a dance. And maybe the courtship is fun, but it should also be for something. I think for something to build an ongoing relationship, it's got to be straightforward. That doesn't mean it's not exciting. Your heart should still skip a beat because it's that sort of fluttery heart feeling that then you rely on when things are a bit harder or someone's having an off day or farts in their sleep. You have to remember that heart flutter. Go check out your doctor though if you have an actual flutter. But you know what I mean, that butterflies thing. But loneliness sticks with your brain. Oh, I did everything when I was lonely. And I've been lonely in relationships and I've been single and not lonely at all. When you're in that state of loneliness, God, it's the worst feeling in the world. And I get it sometimes now. If I go off on a long tour and I'm in the UK or something and away from Carl and the pets, and I feel lonely, even if I'm around lovely friends, I feel lonely sometimes in that situation. But I feel less lonely than when I was in not right relationships. You still, because the connection is there. Long distance can work. It's very, very hard, but it can work if the connection is there. But then you don't feel that loneliness, that emptiness. And when I say loneliness sticks with your brain, it can make your thoughts a bit toxic. It can make you fixate on people and try to make them into the right person when they clearly don't want to be around. You can have lots of casual relationships and treat people as accessories. That can happen. I did hookup sites and things like that. I did. Ooh, shocker. Yeah, no, I like sex. And I used to say, okay, maybe no string sex is all that's out there for me. Maybe I'll do that. Always be safe. Always be safe. Goes without saying, any meeting that originates online is risky. So usual precautions applied. I'm not recommending it. I'm just telling you something that happened at a particular point in my life. Oh, one thing, if people were married, that was a big no, an absolute no-no. And you could usually tell, even if they were pretending they weren't, you can usually tell after a little bit of interaction. That's why the little interactions were so important. Of course, sometimes relationships start when one or other person is already in a marriage. They can end up being good stories. I'm not judging at all. They're quite complex, but I'm not judging. I know that that can happen, but that wasn't what this was about. This was about single people just, you know. There are all kinds of alternatives if you don't want to be in a relationship, but you do want to be physical. I wouldn't recommend it, but it was better than going to a bar and getting hammered and, oh, you know, I've been there and it just doesn't make me feel great about myself. If it makes you feel good and you're being safe, then go for it. Go for it. But I definitely hooked up with a lot of unsuitable people, people that weren't right for me in any way. You know, carrots or no carrots, farts or no farts. But I was single till I was 39, so I had a lot of casual relationships and a few serious ones. And no matter what, breakups are awful. Breakups are awful because it's not just about losing that person from your life, but you lose the projected future. We all project. You have to project a bit in a relationship. You have to go, I foresee this continuing. So you have ideas about that. It could be for you, it could be kids, or it could be, you know, growing old together, whatever it is. You've seen it with that person and then that's gone. So you grieve. And I think heartbreak is very close to grief, to actual bereavement. So I hate it when people say, snap out of it. Just snap out of it. It's nobody died. But in a way, someone's left your life and that can feel similar. I'm not saying it's the same. I am not equating them. But don't be hard on yourself if you feel sad.
Do you like listening to podcasts? Well, like, I know you do. This is part of a podcast. I have a podcast. My name's Dave Coffey. I have a podcast called Phoning It In. It's an improvised phone-in show where I have a group of guests and they have no idea what they're about to call in to talk about until I introduce them on the air. It's gas crack. You can get it on iTunes or Stitcher, any of those, anywhere where you get, wherever you got this podcast, you can get my one as well. So it's called Phoning It In. Thanks for listening.
So I'd had quite a few breakups. Some of them were dreadful and some of them were on me, but some of them were just on assholes. Choosing an asshole was on me. We have to take responsibility too when things go wrong. And sometimes it's because people behave badly and sometimes we chose them and accepted their bad behaviour. And that's on us. But don't be hard on yourself. Just learn from it and move on. But so when I met Carl, I was really wary. That's another reason for the breakup. I thought I should be by myself. I should be learning by myself. I shouldn't be involving anyone else. And I'm going to mess things up. I'm going to mess this up. And it's too good to mess up. So I'll mess it up. See, logic isn't great when the old heart gets involved. But the other thing about loneliness and being lonely for so long is I thought that being by myself would be better because it makes you hard. Loneliness makes you hard. It makes you think you should be on your own, that's all you deserve. And a lot of people want to be on their own and that's their happy place and that's great. If you don't want to be on your own, it doesn't mean you're needy or weak. We're built to want to be with someone or someone's. Polyamory. Hey, hi, polyamorous people. Wouldn't work for me, but you, fair play to you. Being with one person is complex enough. My God, having fights with one person that you need to resolve because you need to go into the same bed. Fair play to you, polyamorous people. I admire you. I take my hat off to you. But loneliness can make you hard. It can make you make bad choices. And all I'm really here to say is I empathize. I absolutely empathize. If you're feeling lonely right now, don't put that lonely feeling on other people. Don't let it make you hard. I understand how it can, but don't let it make you hard. Reach out to someone. Do things that are fun. And I'm not saying that in a glib way, but honestly, really look after yourself if you're in that place. I remember at one stage being so lonely that I was pushing everyone away. I remember it was really hard for me to hear when people were having nice relationship fun. And I regret that. But I also feel like the other person didn't understand the depths of how low the loneliness was making me. And again, as I say, there were other times I was single and it was brilliant. I loved being single a lot of the time. There were moments where I was lonely. That was more to do with my own mental health, I guess. But so I remember somebody telling me, they were saying, oh my God, like I can't beat the guys off with a stick at the moment. You know, there's this guy and he really wants to get serious. And there's this guy who says he just fancies me. And I hadn't had a date in a while and I was feeling so low. And my self-image was terrible. My self-esteem was wrecked. And it was nothing to do with her. It was me. I would have loved if she had a little more empathy too, because I had told her how bad things were, but I suppose I hadn't explained quite how sad I was or how that was really impacting me on me. But I just said it at one point. I said, honestly, I just feel bad. I feel like my light is off. I was really trying to reach out, but it came out as bitter. It came out as angry. And I wasn't angry at her. I was just sad. So it made me push people away. Yeah, that was a real disconnect. I should have been delighted for her, but I couldn't be because I was so low. It's not always possible to lift yourself up and give yourself a shake. And don't listen when people say that. If you're not ready to be out there, don't be out there, but look after yourself in another kind of way. If you're ready to be out there, stay optimistic and get out there. But it should be easy. When it happens, when you're ready, it will be easy. That's the only tip I can give you. And if it's not easy, if games are being played, just pop off, get out, go on away and do something else. Oh man, when I was doing the hookup sites, though, I should tell you, I might do a whole episode about them at some point. But there was a kind of honesty to it. It was great crack. People were very funny because I had lots of rules. I'm saying no rules, there are no rules, but in terms of romance and finding someone, on traditional dating sites, they were all very vanilla. They were all very identikit. It was all, I like long walks. I like sunsets. I like fine dining. I was like, what is this? this is a time machine. This is the 70s. Fine dining. Holy hell. People projecting an image of themselves. Whereas there was a bit more honesty on the hookup sites. The only thing with the hookup sites was they would instantly start sending dick pics. You know, so it was like, okay, we might, let's see if we have some kind of connection. And if it seems like it might be crack, maybe we'll meet up. When you get sent more than one dick pic, it just looks like a little forest of mushrooms. They just disconnected from a body. They're not hot. They're great. Don't get me wrong. Penises are fabulous, but they're not hot when not connected to a person. Sorry. So that's one of the reasons that we don't love dick pics, especially when they're unsolicited. And even on this hookup site, I wasn't asking for them. In fact, I said, please don't. Please don't. Because it wasn't about depersonalizing or dehumanizing someone. It was about, let's see if there's a click. It's not about a relationship, but let's see if there's a click. And if there is, sure, let's talk. But yeah, dick pics will be sent. And I'd find myself just going, I think I'll have mushrooms on toast for tea. Mushrooms, now, there's a vegetable I will never go off. Oh, if I go off mushrooms like I've just gone off carrots, oh, that would be the end of the world for me. That would be the end of the world. Some people say to me, you identify as a feminist, and I do. Why did you get married? That's a really patriarchal societal construct. It's about transfer of property and men owning women and taking their name and all that. Well, I didn't take Carl's name. I wanted to get married because I met the person I wanted to form a family with. Now, forming a family for me didn't mean having kids. So it was not about legitimizing anything. And I hate that term. Yeah, Buffy, I really hate it. Cats don't have to legitimize anything. You're not what they used to call illegitimate, even though you were found in an alley. But we didn't want to legitimize anything that way. But we did want to formalize our family. And I love being married to Carl. I don't know if I'd love being married to anyone else. I never, ever, ever had that white dress dream. No, Buffy, I didn't. And I never, ever had that fantasy of this is what my wedding will be like. I got married in a purple dress that I bought in a shop, a regular shop, and I cycled to get it. We had 40 people and it was in a room over a pub. Dara O'Brien officiated. And then we went to the registry office a few weeks later and got the piece of paper. And it was brilliant. But it's not just about a day out. It's about making a family. And Carl's my family. And we got married. And take that. Patriarchal constructs. Sometimes you can bend them to your own means. And there's only one other thing I want to say. Valentine's Day is gack. It's gack. So don't worry. If you feel terrible on Valentine's Day, know that even people who are married, and the idea of that you have to buy presents for, where did that come from? It used to be an old card. And like sometimes we get each other cards, but we don't always. We might go out, but it's usually really busy and things are double the normal price. Oh, it's full of people not talking to each other or pretending they feel like going out that night. And it's all so forced. Maybe you love it. Maybe it's your holiday of the year. I can't stand it. I prefer to celebrate St. Bridget's Day. That's my new February holiday. That's the one I want. Or really, not really St. Bridget. Imbolc. Breed. Oh, we'll do, maybe around Imbolc, we'll do a Breed podcast. I'll get some pagans on. We'll talk about Breed in the coming spring. But Valentine's Day, can jump in the sea. It's crap. It's gack. It's too much pressure on people who are together. And it's an awful rubbing in the face of people who are unhappily single. People who are single, go and do your Galentine's or your Palentine's or whatever you want to do. That sounds brilliant. Do that. I prefer to kind of ignore it. Stay in. Put the pajamas on. Pajamas forever. They're really roomy when you fart. So I hope that helps some of you who are feeling lonely. Realize that loneliness does stick with your brain, and that it might be warping your perceptions and making you bitter. And I think that's where a lot of those embittered young men being told they're entitled to people's company. None of us is entitled to someone's company. None of us is entitled to another person's love or care or time. So look for someone where you're both delighted to be around each other, both ecstatic, both willing and enthusiastic to be around each other at all, let alone get physical. Enforced monogamy or feeling like you're owed someone's time, be they male, female, even if it's down in the shop and it's not a sexual or loving relationship, try and move past those ideas. They're not useful. They're definitely no crack. It all should be crack. Or be by yourself. Do a jigsaw. Jigsaws, where did they go? Where did they go? I used to love them. If ever I'm on my own again, and you never know, you can never see around the corner. Anything can happen. Jigsaws are going to be my future husband. So I hope that's helped. I remember just feeling very isolated because the whole culture seemed to be about find a person to be with. Get with that person. Here's how to stay with that person. The secret of love is there is no secret. There's no one size fits all. It should be crack. That's it. That's it. I hope I remember all this if I'm ever on my own again. Yeah, I hope I remember. So thank you again. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Buffy for making another appearance. Thank you, Buff. No, she's been quiet. She might as well not be here. What the hell? Thanks to Brian at Headstuff, my nemesis, the person I'm determined to find out more about. Oh, I can't do it. I can't dox him. It's not fair. Thanks, Brian. Thank you for everything, for making this sound better than it is. Thank you to Headstuff for the platform. And please do check out other Headstuff podcasts. Oh, how about Phoning It In? It's absolutely brilliant. I was a fan of the show already. But then I got asked to do it. Oh, it was so much crack. It was improv, my favourite. It was improv and with lovely, lovely people. So check it out. I think we're the November 5th one. But there are tons. If you want a binge of just fun, silly people making stuff up for your entertainment, check out Phoning It In. It's a brilliant idea and it's always got great people on. I'm not saying I'm a great person. Subset. You know what I mean? There are great people on. I was also on. That means nothing, but do check it out. And so it's time for Flinspiring. I choose to be grateful. I choose to feel blessed. In so doing, I choose to annoy the whole off anybody feeling a bit shit today. That's the thing. That's why I started doing Flinspirings back in my Twitter days. Because I love an inspirational quote. Sometimes they can pick you up, but sometimes they feel so smug and detached from the fact that you're in a crippling financial crisis or are stuck inside because of anxiety or you're ill or you've just had a heartbreak or a bereavement. Then people just going, why don't you just think nice thoughts? You want to punch them in the face. Don't punch them in the face, but why not come up with your own Flinspiring? And, you know, that was that time that that woman was telling me all about how wonderful her romantic life was at a time where I was in a deep hole of loneliness. Maybe just suss out where the other person is at, right, Buff? Before you drop platitudes. So I choose to be grateful. I choose to feel blessed. In so doing, yes, Buffy, I choose to annoy the whole of anybody feeling a bit shit today. Thanks, fellow Egypts. See you soon.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.